Blog Talk Radio.
Do you recall the night? That very, very special night. Do you remember a girl? Very special girl. Well, to the old and to the new, we rededicate this song to you.
Shalom, everyone. This is Yaina again with another edition of the Yehuda Project on the first day of the week. How is everybody doing today? I am glad that we are able to be here in the land of the living. What a blessing it is. All praises be to the high and holy one of Israel. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. If you can hear, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, we want to do something a little different this week. Malcolm told me not to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, we have, you guys know we have the women's class every Tuesday night at 7:30. And ever since I've been in this movement, this whole Hebrew Israelite movement, I've noticed the issue with women. And I keep bringing this up because this is so very important to the growth of our nation, to the growth of our families, to the growth of our outreach. Everything is very important. And what I've noticed is a lot of the women that are over here are miserable. They are extremely miserable because of the treatment that they have been receiving being over here in this thing called Israelism. And we talked about this many times. You know, we have had several, you know, men, we've had several men groups. We've had several men to respond to the things that we were talking about when it comes to the women. But, you know, especially since we did our last class on Thursday, where we were talking about wisdom and how the Most High specifically gave her a gender and that she's identified as a she. So it's very important, you know, because this is a very male-dominated movement. And I don't, no harm to the brothers, but, you know, when you experience this as a female, as a woman, you know, and we know what we bring to the table, it's very difficult to sit back and not say anything. I mean, I remember when I first started this program, they told me, you know, they said, Yaina, women don't talk out loud in Israel. I said, well, this one do. This is just unheard of in Israel. I said, well, this one does. And, you know, not to be sarcastic or aggressive in any way or anything like that, but, you know, there's a misconception that's going on out in the world about women and the importance that women carry. And I ran across a brother. Some of you all have already, I've already sent it to you. Some of you all have received it. Some of you all haven't. But I ran across a brother. He's actually a pastor, a Christian pastor, and he was actually doing an interview. And the things that he said in this interview was so profound that I hope that there are married couples on this call today. I hope that there are single women on this call today and single men that are looking for or expecting a relationship to find that one to have this relationship with. Because it's not anything that we haven't said, but it's the way he says it. It's you can receive it the way he says it because it's so profound in how he says it, you know, that I just felt like it was necessary to be, because all a woman ever wants to be is understood. Is understood. Because once you understand what makes her move and what motivates her, it's really simple. It's really, really simple. So I wanted to take the time because we don't usually do this on this show. This is usually one of those shows where we talk about current events or we talk about this or we talk about that. But like I said, I've seen a lot of Hebrew Israelite camps put YouTube clips out there. And some of the titles are just downright derogatory. And I don't want to believe that it's deliberately being done. I really don't want to accept the fact that Lucifer is over in this movement corrupting the image of Israel as a nation. I refuse to accept that fact. I refuse to accept the fact that this is a nation that has been in captivity for 400 plus years, been afflicted for 400 plus years, and we still can't figure out how to heal ourselves and each other. I mean, it's hard to accept that. So I'm going to chalk that up as unlearned and not knowing. I refuse to believe it's deliberate. Just I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, because we have to understand that everybody's hurting. Everybody. Everybody has gone through something. Everybody is being delivered from something. Everybody has experienced something. Everybody has a story to tell in this captivity. So I wanted to just take the time, and I want you guys to listen to him. And I would love to have some feedback, and especially young women. If we got some young women on the call, this is the time for you to call in. I'm telling you, because it's profound. It's just profound. So, you know, I wanted to take the time to do this. I mean, we could talk about Russia and China, and we do. We do that well. We talk about them all the time. We make them a priority in what we're doing, and we let everybody know what we believe and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes it's a matter of dealing with what's going on with us. Dealing with what's going on with us. So I want to be able to just play this, and I'm just a little bit of it. I'm not going to play it all, but just a little bit of it, you know, so that we can kind of deal with some of the things and understand this real quick. Hold on. Just give me 1 second. And I'll be happy to put this on. Hold on.
People have a perception that, and as a woman, I'm going to be very honest with you, Artie, I definitely thought that.
Hold on, I got something going on here. Yep.
My God, that is so detrimental to relationships, to couples, because there's value in both.
Correct. And you know, the big thing today is the high value man. Everybody's talking about the six figure, seven figure, eight figure guy, or the high value woman. The value of the man is based on how much money he makes. The value of the woman is based on how she looks. When the
entanglement, that's why.
Give me one moment. Of course, they got to put their commercials in. Hold on, here we go.
When the reality is, you know, coming from my context, being a preacher and all of that kind of thing, you go to the Bible, as I do, God's original design was never about a high-value man or a high-value woman. It was always about a high-value couple. What the two could become together. Now, though I am, and my wife respects me as the leader of our family. I'm the emotional leader of our family. I'm the visionary leader of our family. We are yet equal partners. It's almost like a pilot and a co-pilot. Co-pilot has as much capacity and control and ability as the pilot, but they work together. And so it is in relationships. If a woman wants to have a lifelong partnership with a man, she should see from the very outset that he reveres her enough to pull the trigger, that he has enough gumption to lead, and she should not have to jumpstart him. She should not have to jumpstart a relationship. And I think when a woman is tempted to jumpstart, pursue a man, she has to go back and check out the health of her own individuality.
And what do you mean by that? How do you look at the health of your own individuality?
I think if you need to be married or joined to someone, you don't need to be married or joined to anyone. In other words, if you're not a fulfilled, healthy, and happy individual, as a standalone, you really don't need to be joined. You're not qualified to be joined to anyone. And I think a lot of women are in pursuit of men because society has built this idea in them that the only way you're going to ever be considered valuable or worthy or significant is going to be based on your relational attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a woman has this, you know, this desire to just, I'm getting desperate and I think I just need to shoot my shot and pursue a man, she needs to go back and check her own heart, because if you pursue a man and if you attain a man, he's not going to be able to bring you happiness. Lisa and I have been married going on 28 years. I can't make her happy. She has to find that within herself. She can't make me happy. We improve each other's lives. I know how to assist her happiness. But she has to be a healthy enough individual, separate and apart from R.C. Blake's. And I view her as an individual, separate and apart from R.C. Blakes. But I think today the way the world is pushing women, you know, so we're saying to women now at 25 years old, you hit the wall, it's over for you, you're washed up, you may as well settle. I think we have to turn that noise down. Women must turn that noise down, and women must go internally and rediscover who they are innately, who they are based on the Creator's design of them. And when you can come out of that personal work and you can say, I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, I'm in purpose, now you can sit back and you can allow what is destined to be to actually manifest, as opposed to creating a lot of things out of desperation.
The word desperation hits me really strong, because I think when I was insecure with myself, I was desperate, and I think the desperation came from wanting to feel good about myself.
Correct.
And when you want to feel good about yourself, you're searching almost like frantically for that one thing. And to your point, I think I would turn to guys and boys at the time, before
Correct.
I met my husband, as a way of trying to feel validation from somewhere. And then that leads to the desperation of maybe finding someone that isn't right for me. And it also leads to me being blind, I think, for a lot of women being blind to what they're going after. And I heard this analogy of yours, and I just thought it was amazing. I was like, every woman needs to think of this now. It's like bleeding in the water and not expecting sharks not to come for you.
Correct.
And it's like, if you're bleeding, being the desperation, then if you can understand that, of course, sharks are going to be drawn to the blood, then that's why you're surrounded by sharks. So to your point of, if you have the desperation, you're only going to be attracting people that
Correct.
Don't respect your value. That hits me very strong, and I love that.
Correct. Which is why so many women have a long track record of horrific relational experiences. A woman in particularly, in my opinion, because women are God's greatest gift to the universe. That's, you know, I hear some guys say, well, we're the prize, the man is the prize. No such thing. No such thing. The woman is God's greatest gift to the universe. And it's not until she understands that, you know, she has to go internal. I call it queen consciousness, you know, and that's where a woman really awakens to her true worth, her true value, what she has to offer. Most women today are not aware of the value they bring into a man's life. The world has blinded the woman to her true worth and her true value. And so I also liken it to, you know, being not far from Rodeo Drive, the imagery would be almost like the woman today would be like, an authentic Chanel bag being sold on a Walmart shelf.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't know your value, people can put you in places that you don't deserve. And being a woman that has to pursue a man and run a man down is far beneath anything that the Creator has designed for women.
There's so much complexity there, because I really do hear the fundamental thing that you're saying. Also, that it is very hard as a woman to think that a different gender is telling me what I should and shouldn't do, right? I'm sure you get a lot
Correct.
Of pushback
Correct.
Because of that.
Correct.
And so I like to go, okay, just assume there's massive wisdom in what you're saying. And so instead of pushing back, I just go, okay, well, it doesn't mean that I have to. It doesn't
Correct.
Mean that, but at least understanding and knowing what human nature is like, what guys are like. And I think that what we're trying to do in today's society is pretend that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And in trying to blend everyone together, it's almost like we're saying, no, everyone's equal, so everyone's the same. It's like, no, everyone isn't the same, but yes, we're equal.
We are equal.
And so now, if you're equal, how do you want to show up? And now if you say you want to show up like X, Y, and Z, what is that knock-on effect, the repercussion, you know? And so even with me going into business, my husband said, you've hardened. And because I was a stay-at-home wife for 8 years and I was the nurturer and I was like the caretaker and I went into the business side, we had to have the honest discussion about how I was transitioning and how I was showing up. Now, if you don't have those conversations and you have the idea, like what you were saying, where it's just, oh, not the idea, but you're just like, well, it's all the same, it shouldn't matter, the chances I would have been divorced.
Yeah.
And to your point of the reason why you and your wife have been married for 28 years, how you can sit here and talk about relationship in such a beautiful way is because it's about being honest and having the truth about the dynamic that is right for you.
Correct. Right for you. If you're happy with whatever your life is, however your life is manifesting right now, if you're happy with that and you're genuinely happy with that, hey, good, rock out. But for the women who really sit back and say, I want to have a significant relationship, I want a marriage, and I want these things, some of the concepts that I teach I think could be very beneficial. Do I know everything? Absolutely not. Is it one size fit all? Absolutely not. There's no cookie cutter process to relationships. But one thing is for certain, you have to be able to, at the end of the day, look in the mirror and feel good about who you are, the choices you've made, and you have to protect your own self-respect in whatever process you choose.
I love that so much. And again, there's so much nuance. I'm just going to keep saying, because I really want people to pay attention to what you're saying, because there's so much power in it. Like, when I was listening to your stuff, there were moments where I'm like, I was triggered by what you were saying. But at the same time, I was like, but there's actually truth to it. And that's where I think that if I can be the facilitator between the trigger and the truth, I think that that's where we can make real change. And so where I was triggered was when you had said, there was a video where you said about women being submissive. And you got, I'm sure, a lot of pushback on that.
Okay, now I want you guys to pay very close, men and women, I want you to pay very close attention to what he's getting ready to say. Listen.
Brought that up.
But then you then followed it up with, I'm not saying to be submissive to anyone. You have to trust. And you have to. So please talk to me about being submissive, because this is a freaking controversial issue.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
One of the biggest fallacies is that relationships shouldn't be work. They work. We put time, effort, and hard work into growing our careers or our business, but love should just happen? After 20 years of being married, all starts with being willing to ask and answer hard questions. I have a free downloadable PDF for you for a happy, successful, lasting love. Click the link below for free access to the most important questions you must ask your partner, PDF.
I would have...
At the Real Real.
Guys, we got to get through this commercial, but I really want you to listen. I want you to listen. Here we go.
That had you not brought that up. That's a big issue today. You know, women want husbands, but they're triggered by the word submit for obvious reasons. Sometimes we as men want to act like we don't understand why women are so triggered by the concept of submission. Well, we have, meaning men in general, a lot of us, we've traumatized women with lies, with abuse, so forth and so on. When we use the term submission, when I use the term submission, there's a step that has to come before a woman is even capable of exercising authentic, healthy submission. And the step that has to come before that is she has to have a man that honors her. Honor is like the seed. Submission is the fruit. You don't get the fruit before the seed. If a man steps into a woman's life and he honors her, going back to the pursuing thing, a man that honors you pursues you. You don't have to run him down. He'll pursue you. But if a man honors a woman and he loves that woman, and honor is really the ultimate submission, Because sometimes men, we want to heap all of the submission upon the woman. The reality is it goes both ways. As a husband, I submit to Lisa all the time. She's smarter than I am in a lot of ways. And in those areas where she can lead, I let her lead. I don't interfere. And if I say, well, Lee, I think we should go this way, it's always in the context of our discussing it and talking about it and my respecting her. No woman should submit to a man that demands submission. If a man has to demand submission, he does not deserve it.
Uh-oh.
Submission should be the natural responsible woman to a man.
Hold on. I know y'all ladies got something to say about that. Somebody better be pushing one. He said if a man has to demand submission, he doesn't deserve it. And I'm going to say something. That goes to the street corner preacher. That goes to the pulpit preacher. That goes to the husband. That goes to the anywhere that is demanded. If you don't get it, you don't deserve it. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. I've seen a lot of abuse go on YouTube. I've seen them call them all kind of whores. They've even called them the B word. They've called them, these is Israelite brothers. On their YouTube channels, they have done all kind of stuff on the street corners, all kind of stuff to the women of our nation, of our nation. You have demeaned them. You have belittled them. You have made them feel less than and all of that. And the Most High said in his word, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And we've been saying it over and over and over. If you go to a lot of these camps, and I can pull up multiple YouTube clips. If you go to some of these camps, most of the women are miserable. They have them under an authoritative, where it's terrible. If somebody want to push one, please feel free to do so. There's a way that the Most High does everything. And you cannot bully people into this thing. You cannot make people feel like that they are less than, or they're not worthy because they dress a certain way, or they're not worthy because they don't look the way you think they're supposed to look. This is the Most High's doing. And quiet as it's kept, we're going to be held accountable for the things that we have done to damage his people because you feel like you're in control of the situation. And this is the stuff that we have been saying all along. These are the things that we have been saying all along, that there's a way to do things that is right when it comes to people's souls, when it comes to people's feelings, when it comes to people's self-esteem. You know, we have been beat up enough, men and women. And if we're going to build a nation like he told us to, we're going to have to repent for the things that we have said and done, wherever it is that you said it. I'm going to let him finish. I'm going to play a little bit more. Hold on a minute. Here we go.
Man steps into a woman's life, and he honors her, going back to the pursuing thing. A man that honors you pursues you. You don't have to run him down. He'll pursue you. But if a man honors a woman, and he loves that woman. And honor is really the ultimate submission. Because sometimes men, we want to heap all of the submission upon the woman. The reality is it goes both ways. As a husband, I submit to Lisa all the time. She's smarter than I am in a lot of ways. And in those areas where she can lead, I let her lead. I don't interfere. And if I say, well, Lee, I think we should go this way, it's always in the context of our discussing it and talking about it and my respecting her. No woman should submit to a man that demands submission. If a man has to demand submission, he does not deserve it. Submission should be the natural response of a woman to a man that has honored her, made her feel safe, valued, and a man that has earned her trust. Woman can't even give a man trust. He has to earn that. And when he's earned that, submission will be the natural response. It's the relational rhythm of a healthy masculine feminine dynamic.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you know, maybe it's just me. Is it just me? Is it just me? I mean, for real. This is something that we have to start understanding. Something we got to understand. Hold on. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, I was just reaching out to ask what's the name of the video so I can send it to, you know, some people that I know. I think it's very important for them to know about this, especially brothers.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you what. I will give you the name of the video as soon as we get through with it because, you know, well, let me ask you this. How does it make you feel? Because you're a young woman. You're in your 20s. Does that allow you to understand how a relationship is supposed to flow? Because the reason why I'm asking is because building a nation, and this is what we've done. We've been through slavery. We have been lynched. We have been killed. We have been shot. We've been murdered. All of the things that has been done to us because we're black, just because we are black people. And now the Most High is saying, gather yourselves. You know, but we still can't. Now we're killing each other. You know, we're killing each other with our tongues. We're killing each other with guns. We're killing each other with abuse. And all of these things, and I'm talking about our people, the things that we're doing to each other. Black men are saying, well, I don't date black women anymore. I don't want, and like he said, for the most part, we just want to feel safe. We talk about this in a women's class all the time, that there's a natural component to that female. And that female, that softness of that female is there. It's down there. But in order for you to feel like you can freely give that to someone, you have to feel comfortable with that person. So from listening to what he said, how does that make you feel? Is she still there?
Hello?
Eric? Yes, ma'am, 717. How did it make you feel? Because you're a young woman.
Right. I think personally, I don't, like, this is just from my personal experience. I don't think there's an issue with being submissive. That's just on my part. But I feel like a lot of times, like, some women have difficulty being submissive is because they've always had to take on the role of being the head. Just because of the curses that we had to live through, we didn't have our men in the houses. So a lot of times they had to be the head of the house, they had to take charge of everything, and they had to be in control of stuff just because we didn't have that man in the household. So especially when men walk in the house, a lot of times they're afraid to get hurt and mistreated. And sometimes because of what men suffered, that's what they talk about, like the generational curses, childhood trauma. And with them going through it, they bring that into the relationship as well because they never healed from that. And then they destroy somebody else who either is trying to heal themselves, and it ruins that other person. Like, especially from my experience, I didn't have an issue with being submissive. But sometimes some people take advantage of somebody being submissive, somebody being kind and quiet. And a lot of times it is being taken advantage of, and that's why we have to go to the Most High and ask the Most High to give us somebody that will respect us being submissive and to appreciate us for that. Because I understand why some women have a hard time doing it is because some men either take advantage or they don't appreciate it. And sometimes some men don't know how to be ahead of the household, or they have like this, alpha. I'm not like attacking men or anything. This is just from my personal experience. This is not for all men. I know all men are not like this, but from my personal experience, when you have a man that's like have the alpha male mindset, sometimes that's where it's like the toxic masculinity comes in because they don't appreciate what the woman says. And the Most High had told Abraham what Sarah, he said, listen to your wife. There's times, too, where you should value the woman's opinion when she has something to say, because it's it's not just the man he created the woman too, and they're supposed to be one, so they're supposed to be on one accord when it comes to making decisions and doing things around the house. So that's just, you know, my take of it and stuff from my experience and stuff. But yeah, definitely, I would just say definitely go to the Most High about stuff, and from my experience too, let somebody know if you're going to be talking to anybody. You know, we don't do that messing around stuff because that's from Babylon, but if you plan on talking to somebody, let an elder know and listen, especially from being young, listen to when somebody tells you, like let somebody know about that other person and listen to them when somebody older tells you, I don't like that person, take into consideration because they're not trying to attack you. They're not trying to they're not trying to like look down on you because of your choices. Sometimes older people see things before a younger person does. We're very oblivious. We don't see the sign. We don't see the red flags. And a lot of times older people see the red flags before you even see them. So I would say definitely for like the younger generation, because I'm young, I'm 22. So definitely listen to when your elders tell you that they don't like somebody. If they want to meet somebody, let them meet them. Take in their, consider their opinion about that person. It's not them trying to be in your business, but if the older person sees a red flag within that person, take it into consideration. Seriously, because, yeah, that's how you get hurt. That's how you get mistreated. Yeah. Yeah, right. And they always try to tell you, oh, don't tell the family. Well, then, especially back then, the elders knew everything. We went to the elders for everything. We told them everything. And they would sit down and they would have conferences and they would talk about it. Like, well, what do we think about it? And even then, like, before they even could have any relationship, they would tell the elders, I'm interested in this person. And the elders would sit there and talk. They'll look at that man's attributes. They'll be like, okay, well, we'll see if she's fit for you. They'll be like, no, she's not fit for you. There's somebody else out there for you. And it's true. There's an order to everything. It's very, very important. The Most High has an order to everything, and we have to respect it. We absolutely have to respect our elders. And right, and we can't pick our own men. We have to go to the Most High, and then we have to talk to the elders too, because they've been here longer. They know more than us, and some of us, like, they will pass the elders. They think because they're older that they don't have to listen to them. It's not true. I learned from experience. I love older people. I adore older people. They're very knowledgeable, and they have so much wisdom, and a lot of us don't respect them, and I think they should be very respected, in my opinion, so... I'm just going off, but yeah, that's just my opinion about it.
Well, I think it's a very good opinion, you know, and like I said, being 22 years old and coming over into the knowledge of who we are in Israel, you know, and you have to value yourself. You have to make other people respect you. And like I said, I can pull up a video right now of a man talking about his wife and the experience that they had in a camp, and how as hard as they made him against her. He was like, man, they made me so hard against my wife that I started not liking her for no reason. He said, and then when she finally left and I realized she was gone, I went to find my wife. He was like, and I had to rebuild my relationship with my wife because of the mentality. This guy, this has got to be Lucifer, y'all. This is Lucifer who has infiltrated the Hebrew Israelite community to turn the men to a point where they are brutal and they're bullish and they're abusive to the point where they are turning people against their own wives. This is not Yah. You know, you have to love. This is the thing that is going to bring us together as a nation is love. It's love. The love is what it's going to do. It's nothing else. You can't scare nobody into this thing. You can't bully anybody into this thing. You cannot. You have to love people where they are. You know, and this is very important, you know, because we want to be attached to our men. If you notice, there's a lot of propaganda out there now with our men marrying women of the other nations or in relation, all Lifetime movies, everywhere you turn, very rarely do you see our men with our women together in anything anymore. It's just something that they've tried to change this thing. And you know, we have to be able to say, no, we are not going to be subject to have to change and marry somebody of the other nations, because the Most High told us not to do that. And I'm not against anybody, but I'm just saying, when you have, the best thing that I ever saw when I came over here was black men on the street corner with a Bible in their hand. That was the most spiritual, powerful thing I have ever seen in my life. On the street, I mean, they weren't even doing that in the church. There are no men on the street corner with no Bible in the church. They was all dressing up going into the building. So when you see brothers that were standing on the street corner with a Bible in their hand talking about the word of God, it was powerful to me. And as a woman, it made you feel safe. It was like, wow, well, okay, here we go. Not that there was a revolution or anything like that, but that they had the power and enough guts to stand up and do something for the Most High. And then you finally come to that knowledge, and then you start listening very closely and intensely, and that same ugly abuse is creeping in. That same ugly verbal abuse and psychological. No, it's going to take love. I'm trying to tell you what to do. It's going to take love. We should have as a nation, we should be some of the prettiest women and the well-rounded men, and as a husband and a wife, you should be able to show the world the dynamic of what a relationship is supposed to be between that male and female energy. But I'm not saying that everybody is like that, but I'm telling you there are certain things that we have to come to terms with, and we have to change. We have to change it because that's all that we want in the first place, is to feel safe. I mean, because you got to deal with this. You're dealing with, like she said, you're dealing with people that are coming with psychological baggage from childhood. You're dealing with people that's coming with baggage from broken relationships. You're dealing with people that are narcissistic that you got to deal with, that they will never be able to have a real relationship. They will never be able to commit. You are a supply source for them, and that's male or female. Whether it's she's a narcissistic and you're not, you're dealing with people from all walks of life, and you have to be able to say, okay, I'm not really good at making this choice, so I'm going to go before the Most High and ask him to give me the ability to get me together, and then allow me to be ready so when the one comes into my life that I'm supposed to be with, I don't repeat the same practice over and over again. That's just the way it is. And unfortunately, that's what we're dealing with as a nation. And you know, like I said, we could be talking about all kind of stuff. I could bring up some detrimental things, but we have to begin to continue to work on us. We have to begin, and you know what, and it's beautiful because here's a man telling it. You know, when we tell it, they'd be like, oh my God, here they go. No, this is a man telling it. And that we should always feel safe. We should always feel respected. We should always feel reverence. We should always, and wait a minute, and recipiate that back. It would be, it flows natural. You know, somebody's out there listening. Recipiate that back because it flows natural. You know, and we guess what we do? We do the same old thing. We get the same old people and we do the same old thing and we end up with the same old results over and over and over and over and over again. Because why? We are attracted to that. Why? Because we are self-injuring ourselves. We are injuring ourselves with the choices that we're making. And Malcolm was like, this is for the women's call. I said, well, no, because you know what? We all need to hear this. Not just the women. We all need to hear this. This is something everybody needs to hear. And please feel free to push one. And I'm going to give you the name of the video because I think you should put it up on every Facebook page, everywhere, all everywhere you can. Because this is real live stuff, you know, and like I said, as we begin to build a nation, because most of us don't know how to have a relationship. Most people get married and they don't know how to be married. Because, like he said, you know, I felt like as a man, my job was to pay the bills and be responsible and bring the money home. It's more to it than that. It takes work. It takes work. Hold on, I'm going to let him finish. I'm just going to play a little bit more of this. I'm going to let him do this. Here we go.
Oh, my God. Aussie, that was so powerful. Like, that was so beautiful because the word itself has become toxic.
Absolutely.
And to your point, it's because, I think, it's just
triggering.
Been abused. And so
it's
now, when you hear the word submit, it means that you're overpowering me without my ability to stop you. I think that that's actually how
correct.
People perceive the word submission. And what you're saying is it's not that at all.
It's organic.
And that it can be beautiful.
Absolutely. I love Montana.
And I told a husband and wife that the other day. I was like, man, when that thing flows right and you have a female at her total capacity and a male at his total capacity, you have a dangerous combination right there. It's nothing you can't do.
And it's beautiful. It's divine. It's happening before you realize it's happening. And I think if I have anything to reiterate, the man that has to demand it of you does not deserve it. The man that deserves it does not have to demand it. It's because his treatment of you, his honor and his respect, his consistency, his protectiveness of you naturally draws out of you, out of your feminine, the desire, even before you realize it. It's almost like a subconscious reaction to healthy masculinity.
Oh, that's actually a really interesting way of thinking about it. It's like if you're listening right now and you're finding yourself being submissive, how does it make you feel, right? Does it make you feel really good or does it make
correct.
You feel bad? And then what is leading to that? Why are you being submissive? Is it because I feel so safe and comfortable with this person? Or is it if I don't, then they're going to leave me? Or if I don't,
correct.
They're going to be emotionally abusive? And I think that that then will help people identify where it can be beautiful, because I don't want people to ignore this point about a thing that I think is very beautiful in a relationship.
Correct. Correct. Manipulation, control, when you're feeling those things, that's bondage. Submission is a beautiful thing that empowers a person. And I personally believe, you know, 28 years of marriage, that a man teaches his wife how to submit by the way he submits to her. You know, my wife, when we got married, she had been on her own since she was like 15. She was independent, extremely independent. She did not need me to take care of her. In fact, when we first got married, she made more money than me. And it was my handling of her, my treatment of her, that just naturally, it has to be something natural. It cannot be forced, contrived. It cannot be.
And when you feel like it's forced, that means that there's like an issue that it hasn't been addressed.
Yeah, there's an issue. There's some level of manipulation on the part of your partner, or there's a deep level of insecurity in you that needs to be addressed. Your individuality is probably broken on a certain level so that you feel like you have to do these things to keep this individual, or this individual is actually indoctrinating you that if you don't submit and do as I say, I'll leave. Somewhat of a narcissistic type dance. But when it's authentic, when it's healthy, when it's organic, It's happening without you even realizing it.
That's what I was going to ask you, is how do you help your women, your female audience, because you've got such a big, beautiful female audience that look to you, and I'm sure that there's moments where it's like there are women who are being submissive to a man out of abuse, out of a narcissistic
Correct.
Relationship, out of something that's toxic, and in your message, you're either triggering someone or you're really helping them.
Correct.
And so if moments right now where if they can hear what you're saying, maybe it can maybe shine a light on the fact that it's a manipulative behavior and not an organic one. So what are those things that people need to start, or that they can start to identify, that they can recognize, oh, well, hang on a minute, this actually isn't the healthy submission, it's actually the toxic one.
Absolutely. Any relationship pours into you. It's almost like the illustration of, taking a water bottle and, having one full, one empty, and assuming or thinking that everything you pour out into the empty bottle is going to be reciprocated. A person that does not meet you on an equal level, does not bring the same level of energy to the relationship, is not going to satisfy your soul. So there's something going.
I've got to share this. You can get full coverage car insurance.
Yeah, I always got to do this. I don't know why, but here we go.
Going back to energy. Energy does not lie. If you're in a relationship and you feel pressured, you feel subjugated, I think you probably need to pause for a minute and really ponder, what's the source of this? Where is this relationship actually rooted and grounded? Because it has to be something that flows from a life source. My wife gives me life. I give my wife life. It's the yin yang. It's not the constant. A lot of people in relationships where they're constantly pouring, and a person never pours back.
Mm.
I think looking at the realities, really pondering and thinking about your intuitions. Some people are in relationships right now, and there's something on the inside of them, that spiritual part of them, that is saying, this is not right. You have all of the trimmings, but the internals are lacking. Relationships start from the core, and then they work their way out. So it has to be happy, healthy, and whole from the inside. And if a person does not fulfill you, a lot of women want to choose a man based on how much money he makes. Just because a man can afford you does not mean he can value. And so a lot of women are caught up in toxic relationships because mama taught them, society has taught them, you need a man with money. And the reality is he has the money, but he lacks the inner deposits to be able to satisfy the core of you. Just really stopping and thinking about what you're getting out of this.
Oh, God, that was so good, Aussie. And then...
All right, anybody else want to push one, please feel free to do so. Because it's a lot of information. It's some good stuff. Now, nobody's perfect. Nobody can be perfect. But you have to work together as a team. And that means, even when you're not married to a person, even on the street corner, you can't damage y'all's people, whether it be male or female. You can't go out and preach the word in one breath and abuse people in the next breath and use the word to do it. It just can't be done. That's what the devil does. Y'all's people don't do that. And we have to be able, again, this is about nation building, more so than relationships. It's about nation building, and we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to be honest with each other and show love, because quiet as it's kept, we have all suffered in this captivity, every last one of us. Every last one of us have suffered in this captivity one way or the other. And it just amazes me how the enemy has taken and put the genders against each other. Okay, I'm not going to stop them from gathering. I can't stop them from gathering because that's y'all's doing. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn them inside out. I'm going to turn the men against the women, and the women are going to be left hanging, and we're going to still leave them dysfunctional. That's not y'all. That is not. That is not how he operates. That is still attributes of the enemy. And we have to be able to heal each other and heal one another and do what we need to do. And you know what? Like he said, it's nothing wrong with going and sitting down and talking to someone. It's nothing wrong with doing that. Even with childhood issues, it is nothing wrong with saying, hey, when I grew up as a child, I went through this, this, this. I have feelings of abandonment, and as a result of feelings of abandonment, I'm insecure with myself, and I just don't trust people. So therefore, I'm controlling. It's nothing wrong with saying that. But everybody hides. And it's like, no. And you can tell because the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the things that we say out of our mouth is a reflection of our inner self. Is a reflection of our inner self. And we can tell, or you can always tell by the things that people talk about or the way that they respond to certain things or just the way that they hold a conversation. If we gonna nation build, let's build it for real. Let's stop playing games and let's build it for real. Because people are hurting. People are committing suicide. People don't know how to deal with stress. People are hurting. And yes, it's a beautiful thing that we're preaching the word. It's a beautiful thing that we're letting people know who they are and giving them their identity. But you best believe that wherever y'all is, the devil is too. And he's been all up over here, all up in this, creating havoc and trouble. Making people feel less than. And that's because hurting people hurt people. And we have to heal ourselves first. And these are things that are very important. It's not so much, like I said, it's not just husband and wife. It's just male and female, period. You know, we have to really be able to understand that. We have to really be able to understand that. You know, because like I said, we said earlier, wisdom is a she. He gave her a gender. He revealed a gender unto us that she's a she. Whether men want to accept it or not, whether the Israelite men want to accept it or not, it's time for us to come together. This is serious business here because we are responsible and charged with building a nation. We are supposed to gather ourselves. And everybody broken and everybody upset and everybody got issues and everybody's jealous and everybody's mad at each other. This is not the image of a nation that the Most High wants us to have. It's not. It really isn't. Oh, we don't deal with them or we don't come together with them. We all isolated over here by ourselves. That's not a nation. You know, and this is serious. You know, like I said, we all have to do some self-inventory. We have to look deep within ourselves and say, am I really ready for, you know, a relationship? Am I really ready to bring somebody else into my life? Am I really ready to step out into the world and do what y'all have called me to do? Am I ready? Have I worked on myself to the point where I'm no longer pity party myself, but I've faced the issues that I've had head on? Yes, I'm still struggling with some things. But I'm doing my best to correct myself. Do I know how to communicate with people? Do I know how to deal with people? Do I come across angry and resentful and aggressive? These are the things that the Most High is going to hold us accountable for. when we step out on those streets to gather his people. We've been talking about it all along. We've been talking about spiritual maturity. We've been talking about this for the longest 4 years. Do I always have revenge on my heart? You know, it's those are the things that he has to make sure that we're able to deal with and be able to get those things out of ourselves. And it was a scripture, let me find it. It's a scripture in St. John that kind of blew me away a little bit because Christ said something in that scripture, and I want to read it to you. Well, let me find it real quick. But it was a scripture that I was like, wow, that is really profound. Because after all that he had went through, you know, and he was on his way, you know, to the cross, he said something very, very profound. Hold on, let me find it. I want to make sure I get it. Here we go. All right, it is in, let me see, what is it, St. John, let's see what chapter, chapter 14. He said something in chapter 14. St. John chapter 14, verse number 30, he said, hereafter, he talked to his disciples, he said, I will not talk much with you. Why? For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. I said, nothing in me? What do you mean he has nothing in you? In other words, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have passed the test. I'm spiritually mature. I've done what I was called to do, and he can't find no malice. He can't find no hatred. He can't find no revenge. He can't find no aggressiveness. He can't find nothing in me because I have walked this thing out in love the way the Father wanted me to do it. And that's what this is about. This is what this is. This is what this thing is about. You can't let him. You can't. And you know what? I try to talk to the Hebrew Israelite people as a community, as the camps, but I'm talking to the nation of Yehuda today. We can't. You got to clean it up. It's time to get it together. We have to clean it up. If you're going to use us, we're going to have to clean it up. You're going to have to ask for forgiveness. Whatever it is, you're going to have to move on. You're going to have to overcome it to the best of your ability and move on and let it go. You're going to have to let it go. Let it go. Whatever it is, let it go. Somebody did something to you, forgive them and let it go. In order to move out in this thing and to do the things that he has called us to do, and that's what he's talking about, relationship, you got to be able to grow up. It's time to grow up. I know I've been saying this a lot. I've been reiterating this a lot. It's time to grow up and to be real live adults. We have to show, if we have to set the example and show it, we have to set the example and show it. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's some real good teachers out there, but you can tell a lot of them are extremely immature. Extremely. With the things that come out of their mouth. And see, it's the things that you say that's not rehearsed that can identify what kind of character you have. It's the unrehearsed things that you say. And they excellent. They can tell you, you know, what happened after 70 AD, where we ran into, how long we was there, what kind of, where the coast is, where we lived at. They can tell you all kind of stuff. But the spiritual maturity level is not there. It's not there. It's not there. Now, like I said, this is not just for relationships. These are things that is going to deal with us as individuals, because before you can have a relationship, you got to grow up. If you're going to have a real relationship, you're going to have to grow up. And some people are. You're motivated by money. You're motivated by status. You're motivated by brand. Some people out there branding. You're motivated by that. You're motivated by image. Oh, no, I have to look a certain way. I can't be seen with you because I have an image to uphold. People got a whole lot of junk that they just need to divorce and be done with it. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, only what you do for y'all is going to last. And only the way he tells you to do it is going to last. Because if you try to do it any other way, it's going to come to nothing. I was looking at a video clip of King Charles and his queen, Camilla, doing something the other day. And they was all out there with horns blowing and dun 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 dun. And it brought me back, it took me back to Solomon. When Solomon said, I've had singers and dancers. I've had horns blowing and people catering to my feet. And he said, after all is said and done, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. He said, they've done it all before me. I done seen it all. It's in Ecclesiastes. I done done it all. I done seen them do all kinds of stuff. He said, and at the end of the day, it's all vanity. And Yah just wants a people. He wants a people that he can use. He wants a people, male and female, that he can use to be able to go out and do his will and be obedient. And be mature, and be mindful, and be prayerful. You know, he tells you the tools. He said, watch as well as pray. Watch. If he said, pay attention to those that labor among you. Don't let no man lay hands on you suddenly. I mean, all these things, the Most High is telling you what to do all the time. He left us with tools. He said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in all truth. Wisdom is there. She's there to make sure that the work is getting done. I mean, these are the things that it's not about, you know, when you see the energy that's being used to promote other things, you know that he's got to have a people that he can trust. He needs some people that can stand up and be spiritually mature and do what they told. Point blank. It's real simple, and it's not hard to understand. It's not hard to deal with. I know this isn't where you thought we were going, but this is where we have to always end up because we're trying to build a nation. And there is no isms and schisms. It's masculine and feminine. There's male and female, and that's how we set it up, and that's how it's supposed to be. You know how many times I've turned on the YouTube clip and heard some of the brothers preaching, saying stuff like, yeah, I might listen to a woman, I don't know. But if I did find out something from her, I would never tell nobody I got it from her. And it's like, excuse me? And laughed about it like it's funny. That's like, wow. So there is a lot of things, like I said, that we have to be able to do and we have to be able to put ourselves together with so that we can be prepared for what he's getting ready to use us with. And it don't matter whether you've been here for 10 years or whether you just showed up 10 days ago. The Most High is going to use who he's going to use. And, you know, we have to be prepared to be ready for that, to be used that way. You know, and they all coming from all walks of life. You know, and from everything that everybody's ever been caught up in, they coming. And this is exactly what he is requiring us to do. And, you know, it's a shame, y'all, when you can call the Catholic Church and you can have people on the other end of the Catholic Church that sound nicer than the Hebrew Israelites do. It's a shame. It's a doggone dirty shame. When they can call you and say, yes, daughter, what is it? What's going on? You know, the Bible says, false answer turns away wrath. You know, and even, what's up? You know you're going to hell. Yep, that's right. You're going, It's a shame. We represent Yah. You ought to be I say it all the time, you ought to be the best employee your employer has. You ought to show up on time. They'd be like, one thing I can say about him is he ain't never late, he's always on time, and when it comes time for him to do or her to do her work, it's done, and it's done to perfection. That's one of the best employees I have. I've never seen couples act like that, but them two, they really act like they love each other. It's something special about them people. And if you're in them camps and your wife is miserable and she's unhappy, that is your fault that you have allowed them to turn you against your own wife. The Most High is going to hold you responsible. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. And it don't matter who it is. You have a responsibility to conduct yourself a certain way. You have a responsibility. Yah's watching. He is watching. He said, the prince of this world is coming. I was amazed. I'm like, wow. He said, I will hereafter. John 14:30. I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. Nothing. So, you know, if you're not ready, you're just not ready. I mean, you know, the time is coming where you're going to be able to decide whether you want to or not. If you're not ready, you just aren't going to be ready. It don't mean you're not coming. You just want to be a part of whatever it is. And he knows those that are preparing themselves to be ready. Couples, male, female, all of that. You're just not ready. You got to get ready. He's giving us time to get ready. He's giving us time to get this thing right. We got to get this thing right. And this is a Christian pastor that was doing the talking. And he has more female women followers than we could ever begin to imagine. You know why? Because women gravitate to where they're understood. Women gravitate to where they're understood. And if you turn on the video right now and you watch some of this stuff that's going on the street corners, the women walk past and they shake their head and walk off. And we represent the Elohim of Israel, the God of the universe, the Elohim of the universe. We represent him. We his people. It's too important to dismiss. It's too important to dismiss because we have a job to do. And yes, we have done it on this radio show. We have done it through the week. We have taught our classes and we have been faithful and we have come to the knowledge of what the word of Yah says, but we have to apply it to our life. We have to live it. Some people caught up on the high holy days. Oh, we got to make sure we get it right. No, you got to get it. You got to get your attitude right. You have to get your mind right, your thinking right. You got to get it right. Because all of that's just ceremonial. You're just doing that out of response. But we got to get our attitude right. We got to make sure that we are doing and saying the things that we're supposed to be saying when people are not watching. That's what they said, integrity. Integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. You know, yeah, it's good to keep the Sabbath day. Yes, it's good to keep the Passover. Yes, it's good to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread and to have all of those things that he told us and to keep his commandments. Yes, it is. But you also have to exhibit the power that he has put in you, and you definitely ought to be showing love one to another. He said, by this will all men know that you are the sons of God, by the love you show one toward another. And it's not conditional whether I have pants on or not. It's not conditional whether or not I wear my hair blonde or not. It has nothing to do with that. Because Yah is the one that does the cleaning if there needs to be any cleaning. It's not up to your approval whether you be nice to me or not. That's supposed to flow natural. You know, even with the homosexuals and all the other stuff, yes, a lot of people that are coming into our nation that deal with that, yes, it is. But that's only, and a lot of people are very condemning, they are very condemning when it comes to them because that's something you can see. But what about the stuff you can't see the other people that are sneaking around with each other and doing the things they have no business doing. Our job is to tell them. Once you tell them, your hands is clean. That's between them and y'all. But we still have to show love because they're coming from our walks. From our walks. You know, and you and I wonder sometimes. I said, I wonder what would be heard. What would be heard if the Most High was able to allow you to listen in on your significant other's conversation when they're away from you. I wonder what they say about you when they're away from you. Because I was at a family funeral in my family, and I looked around at all the couples that had been together for 30 years. They act like they didn't like each other. I'm serious. Everybody was just kind of looking like, They was looking at each other like, It's like, yeah, that's her. You know, yeah, we've been married for 30-something years. Like, yeah, well, you know, that's just the way it is. And I'm like, man, is it going to end up? Is that how it's supposed to be? And I told him, I said, you all act like you don't like each other. The men was rolling their eyes and the women was rolling their eyes like, honey, please. You know, like, wow. After 30-some years? You know, we got to work on ourselves because that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Y'all, that's not y'all. Our poor sisters I feel so sorry for them. I feel so sorry for the women over here in Israel. I feel so sorry for them women. And I just want you to know that Yaina is praying. We are truly praying. We are really, truly praying for you. Because I feel in my heart like they're crying out to the Most High for some relief. Because they're miserable. They're miserable. And it's like, no, you don't get to hold me captive. I'm not your indentured servant. I'm your wife. And some men miserable. Man, it was so bad. I'm telling y'all, this one lady, I felt sorry for the brother. She acted like she was the warden. I'm serious. I felt bad for the brother. He was in a poor man. I mean, she just embarrassed him in front of the whole camp. She made him feel like he was about inch high to the knee high. I mean, it was terrible. You know, I felt like he was in boot camp. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, she was bullying him around. Man, look. We got work to do. Hold on, let me get Brother Yerushalayim here. Brother Rasslam, your mic is open. You on the air.
Yes, ma'am, I hear you. We just got to start learning to love each other. Before we love each other, we got to love ourselves. And a lot of times, people in relationships, you don't really love everything about yourself because if you did love yourself and respect yourself, then you can love and respect somebody else. And a lot of men have issues like that. That, to me, I agree with everything that you're saying. The only thing I add to that is that, you know, we both, male and female, got a lot of stuff to clean up. You know, I mean, we got a lot of stuff to clean up. We don't like each other. It's like we got away from the way things used to be a long time ago, you know, where people stay together forever and a day and they still loved on each other. You know, now just tolerating, everybody just tolerating each other instead of actually really caring about each other. But, I hear you when you say that there's a lot of sisters in there that just crying out for help. You know, I hear those little stories about how some of these brothers are treating sisters. But it works both ways, too. I'm glad you said that before because there are some sisters that need help, too. But we got to learn to care about each other. We got to drop all this fussing and start coming together as a people and start caring about each other. Because there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. And I'm sure once we get down to the table, we get out of this nation and have to take care of each other, I'm sure that'll change, you know, because we're going to have to depend on each other to do what we need to do. But being in this country, being up on all these influences, that's what it is. The brothers listen to all this crazy, violent rap music that tells you the woman is a B and this H and all this. This is what they're going to do for me, and they're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And now the women listen to this crazy-ass music, excuse me for saying it like that, about, oh, I don't need a man, and I don't need this. I can do all this all by myself. And it's like we let Satan in. And he got into our household, and he knew exactly what buttons to push. Now you got this passport brother thing where they going out and they dating all the women of the other nations. So what does the sisters do? They respond in kind. By now I'm seeing all these videos of, you know, our sisters with white men, you know, and they saying it, you know, we'll get you back. And it's like a hit for them instead of loving each other.
Yeah. Because guess what? You can't destroy it from without. You destroy it from within.
Mm-hmm.
You do. That's true. That is the truth. That's the truth. It's sad. I mean, you know. And because we are so inundated and we are so manipulated and controlled by what we see and social media and all the other stuff we get on, that's how they're being controlled. And it's like, you know, my prayer is, y'all wake them up from the matrix. Snap them out of the indoctrination and the predictive programming. That's my prayer. Snap them out of the predictive programming because they're being programmed by what they see. And like I said, you can't beat it from without because they can't stop y'all from gathering. So what do? They implode it from within. And that is exactly what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Because none of us trust each other anymore. None of us, there's going to be ups and downs and dips and valleys in relationships. Yes, there are going to be. But, you know, one thing I learned is you stay there, you stick there, and, you know, you made that decision. You as a male, you made that decision to choose that woman. You as a female, you made the decision to choose that man. You need to stay there and work it out. I learned that. You know, just stay there, work it out. It'll be all right. But the devil going to try you every which way possible. It's just unfortunate that our people now are feeling the way they feel about each other. You know, the males one way, the females the other way. I mean, you see it all. And when to be totally honest with you, Sister Diana, you know, I don't know how you feel about this. It's neither one of our fault. It's both of our fault. You know, it can't be one side or the other side. I just think that we allow Satan in, and he has destroyed our nation from within, starting with male and female relationships. Because if you really look around at it now, we can't stand each other, male and female. We don't trust each other. You know, you got, and I'm sorry, I hate to say this, you know, but because it's true, a woman cannot raise a man, and a man cannot raise a woman. You know, it's not going to happen. You need those both of those elements in your life as a child to grow up well-rounded. And
that's
unfortunately,
true.
We're not getting, our children are not getting that. And then, you know, and I'm going to say it like this. We got to quit come out of this thing about, you know, got to get it. You know, every woman we see, we got to go touch on them and lick on them. That's a male mentality now because of the music they listen to. And females need to make, I'm going to say it, females need to make better choices. I'm a big proponent of that. You know, I got a young woman here in this household that I really have started to really bond with and teach her the right way. And I'm noticing how she responds. And I'm noticing that. So 13 years old, and she'll tell you in a minute. She'll come tell me everything that's going on because there's a bond being put there. And there are things that she's getting from me as a male that are preparing her for life, and there are things that she gets from my mother that are preparing her for life. And she said one of the best things in the world to me just yesterday, made me so proud of her. She said, you know, I love you because I really love you. Because you really care about me. Yeah, I care about you. And you're going to tell me the truth. Yes, I am. And I make sure she knows that. But as men, we got to do much better. Or we're supposed to be the head.
That's
and
right.
As women,
that's
a woman shouldn't have to worry about a lot of different things. You know that?
There's
a lot of things y'all shouldn't have to worry about. Shouldn't have to worry about where you're going to lay your head. Shouldn't worry about what you're going to have to eat. I grew up where my grandparents told me, you ain't got no job. You don't eat. You don't have no woman. You don't have no house. You don't have nothing. But somehow, the men of the day, they don't care about that. Because guess what? The woman got the house. The woman got the job. All I do is sit there and have sex and make a baby that I won't take care of.
Yeah, I agree. I'm 100% in agreement with you. I am 100% in agreement with you. I am really, let me tell them the name of the video before we go. The name of the video is Why a Woman Must Never Pursue a Man. Why a Woman Must Never Pursue a Man and the Power She Has of Walking Away. That's the name of it. Why a Woman Must Never Pursue a Man and the Power She Has of Walking Away. And that is the name of the video that we played today. Like I said, this was a Christian pastor that was talking about the worth of a woman, the responsibility of a man, and how the male and female energy flows together when it's right. When it's right, it's a powerful combination. But you know what? The same way that we eat, that is thrown in our face to eat all kind of foods that go against his dietary law. When you see every commercial with shrimps and lobster tails dipped in cocktail sauce, and the Most High tells you not to eat that. When all the commercials has got pork in them, and they got pork on everything, they got it wrapped in pork, they got pork on hamburgers, all this stuff, and you think it's nothing, but this has been strategically done so that you break his laws, so that you are not in right standings with him. It's the same thing that the enemy has done to be able to keep our relationships broken. We are not able to have the kind of relationships that we are supposed to have with each other so we can have with the Most High. This is done strategically. This is strategically done.
Yep.
And then you got groups on the street corner calling people bees and y'all ain't no good. And the names of the video, the YouTube videos is, you know, the whore women in the church and all crazy stuff. This is Israel. Conscious Israel. That's not Yah. That's not the Most High. That's the enemy. The Most High does not approach his children like that. It was, he said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, and it is not done that way. It's not done that way. He don't do it that way. And it's not a male-dominating society. It is a male and female society. It's a male and female nation.
Yep.
That's how you set this thing up. And, you know, and then one is not supposed to resent another. We are supposed to work in unison together. Like I said, we're supposed to be the example in the earth. But you know what? We making examples with all other people of all the different kind of nations, and we think that it's okay, and it's not. It's just not okay. And that these things are done to separate us from our Elohim so that we never reach the capacity that we need to reach, and we can always be manipulated as long as we watch what everybody else is doing. And that's what got us in trouble in the first place. That is what got us in trouble, and we have got to come to the conclusion that we have to change, and it has to start with us. It has to start with us. You know, you get blue in the face when you keep telling people the same thing over and over again, has to start with us. And then, like I said, this man has, I can't even tell you how many women. It was 249,000 views on this thing I'm playing for you. 249,000 people, because people are hurting.
You're right about that.
They are. And we can't even reach them. You know why? And we have a platform. The Israelites have a platform, but it's the way it's done. And like I said, you're going to be held accountable for the way you do it. You're going to be held accountable. You know, because there's no reason in the world. It's just not. So I just wanted to make sure, you know, we have come to the end of our call. You know, I appreciate everybody's input. Brother Uriah, I'm going to open up your mic so you can make the announcement about the new moon ceremony, which is going to be tomorrow, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, yes, family. We're having a new moon celebration tomorrow at even. We're meeting at 8:15 on, not on this line, but the our teaching line at 8:15 tomorrow night. See you then.
Is it buying or selling?
No buying or selling, not at all.
All right, so we have
so make
a new
sure you
moon
get
ceremony.
Everything. Make sure you
go
get
ahead.
Everything today or tomorrow and early in the morning.
All right, so get it before 8:15, before the sun go down. Make sure everybody get everything. I appreciate everybody's feedback. I hope that you have appreciated this lesson, because this is what the Most High has required us to do. We got to keep building the nation, and we got to do those things that is right. Don't forget our regularly scheduled program that we're going to have on this week. Try not to miss any of it, because this is how we build a nation. We have to heal first. We have to definitely heal first, and then the Most High will be able to take us to the next level. And on that note, you all enjoy the rest of your week, and shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a great rest of your week. Good night, everybody.
Shalom.